Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Doing great. How are you? Everyone recovered from Sunday?
Not yet, Mike.
No, we will not recover.
Too soon.
It's going to leave a mark, and that's Let me tell you something. Like I saw Tim Walz made a joke about it in Wisconsin yesterday. That's how bad things are. That it's become a national laughingstock. The Bears somehow losing a game on a and somebody texted in and said, "Well, that you know that happens all the time. You can't get upset." 6 years since a team lost in that fashion
on
a Hail Mary. Yeah. Hail Mary full of disgrace was what one texter said, Mike. So the prayer has been damaged by that.
I'm thinking that maybe the Bears should just go ahead and trade Tyrique Stevenson to the Commanders since he already plays for them, right? He's still got a week to make it formal. Just everything about it, that play was so bizarre. And there were two holds that weren't called.
Yep.
And, of course, nobody wants to hear about that because it disrupts the, oh, my gosh, I can't believe what I saw euphoria. But there were two holds that helped Jayden Daniels by nearly 13 seconds that he had to settle in, find a spot, set up, and throw that ball as far as he could. But, you know, there are moments where the officials keep the flags deep in their pockets, and I guess they thought, who cares? It's not like they're going to complete this anyway. And it was the most nonchalant catch of a Hail Mary I'd ever seen, too. It's like, I don't know that Noah Brown even realized immediately what he'd done. It was so wild that he was so calm, but a hell of a play, a hell of a play. And you got to have somebody deep on that, not just to try to catch the ball, but remember, once the ball's touched, the pass interference rules go off. That's why there needed to be somebody deeper than the deepest receiver, because if there is a tip and the ball goes up, you wipe out the guy who's closest to the ball, which would have been a legal play. If Noah Brown had just been knocked on his butt once that ball was tipped up in the air, it wouldn't have been a flag.
So the Bears' loss of credibility in Matt Eberflus's as a result, Mike, has precipitated a national conversation about his job status. What do you think the future holds for Matt Eberflus?
Think about what the calendar tells us. We've got October going into November, and we know that once the regular season ends, teams will be firing coaches. It happens every year. 6, 7, 8 different vacancies every year. There were 8 last year. A full 25% of the entire league turning over in one offseason. Well, those decisions don't just get spontaneously made the day after the last game. They are planted, watered, considered in the weeks before the season ends. So when you get into November and December, that's when you get closer and closer to the point where owners start to make those decisions about what the team is going to be doing as soon as the season ends. And if you're Matt Eberflus, you don't need November to be starting with a failure of you to have your team properly disciplined, properly coached, properly ready. You know, you concede the 13 yards that made the Hail Mary possible. And then on the Hail Mary play, you don't have whoever the deepest guy was supposed to be. Some have said it was supposed to be Kevin Byard. I don't care who it was supposed to be. It's on the coaching staff that no one was deeper than the deepest guy on the Commanders. It's on the coaching staff that Tyrique Stevenson was taunting Commanders fans and really not paying attention. And then when he realized the play had started, it wasn't like he really busted his ass to get over there. He was just like, well, something's going on here. I better check this out. So it's all on Eberflus. And it puts a lot of pressure on him in the coming weeks. And this is the challenge. When you have a loss like what happened on Sunday, it's on the coaching staff to make sure one loss doesn't become two. They go to Arizona to play an unexpectedly strong Cardinals team. If one loss becomes two because they can't get over that moment, then you got to start thinking, all right, what are the Bears going to do for next year? And to Cliff Kingsbury, with his performance as the Commanders offensive coordinator this year, position himself to get together with Caleb Williams in Chicago next year.
Interesting.
Mike,
I support that, but it's one of those obvious connect the dots conclusions to draw.
So I'm just wondering, where did you watch it? Were you at NBC? Because I would imagine, I got a buddy who texted us from an airplane, said that people started screaming on the plane. If you were in the studio, it must have gone insane.
Well, here's what happened. I was standing over by one of the producers because we were in the middle of Football Night in America, and he's got two monitors. He's got the game, and he's got the feed of the show. And then Chris Sims and Maria Taylor and Devin McCourty and Jason Garrett were standing over in front of a different monitor as the play is unfolding. They reacted, and I realized that the game I was watching on the monitor I was watching was about a second behind. So I knew that that ball got caught before the ball was even thrown as far as I was seeing it, but I just didn't know what it was going to look like. So it was just kind of a weird moment in time where, oh, wait, this ball is – something's happened here because they're yelling over there. So it was just a weird – it's one of those, you know, it gets wired in your brain. I'll never forget it. It's one of those rare moments in sports that you'll never forget. But that strange time lag made it even weirder.
Mike, is Dan Quinn the midseason coach of the year?
You know, they shouldn't call it coach of the year. They should call it biggest surprise, because that's really what it is. We have our preseason expectations for where teams are going to be. It's just kind of a consensus vibe as to where they all stack up. And for the team that surprises us the most in a good way, the head coach is coach of the year. I don't know that it's a reflection of coaching skill. There's a lot of things that go into getting that surprise to happen. So what's the biggest surprise so far? Steelers and Mike Tomlin, Commanders and Dan Quinn, Vikings to a certain extent, and Kevin O'Connell, although they've you know, cooled off a little bit. But that's why the truly great coaches never get considered for Coach of the Year. We just expect it. Dan Campbell, we expect it. Bill Belichick, we expected it. Andy Reid, we expect it. Matt LaFleur has never gotten seriously considered because we've just expected it. It's the most unexpected overachievement. And so it's either Tomlin or Quinn at this point. And I think Tomlin's body of work would probably get him the edge in how he's managed the quarterback decision. He was Lone Ranger when he went from Justin Fields to Russell Wilson, which implies he's the only one in the building that wanted to do this. And he went against the grain of everyone. And it's paying off. If they can keep winning, and if they win that division, a much tougher division, I think, than the NFC East, I'd give my vote to Tomlin over Quinn. But we still have more than half the season to go.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Jared Payton next on The Score.